An Introduction to the Friends of the Cross. I have told you often, and I repeat it today with tears, there are many who are behaving as the enemies of the cross of Christ. These are the words of St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 3. Among those prayerful souls who have found peace and spiritual blessings in retreats within the enclosure of the Monastery of the Visitation at Waldron in Sussex, a number have formed a group of Friends of the Cross. They meet each month for a day of recollection at the monastery, and they seek God in silence and in prayer. These cassettes contain the homily they received at Holy Mass on the morning of these days, and the conference to which they listened in the afternoon. Friends of the Cross, number 1, the homily. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A day of recollection is a day we dedicate to the one purpose of being with God and letting Him say or do whatever He wishes. Our relationship with God is more personal and more intimate and much more real than any other relationship we can think of, and today we will try to realize that. As we keep silence from ordinary conversation and try to keep a spiritual silence too from internal worries or problems or thoughts about everyday affairs, we will listen to God. Let us treat this day as if only two realities exist, God and your own soul, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you in your unique self as a person, unlike any other person God has ever created or ever will create, made for God and needing God. In a few words in the epistle we've just heard, St. Paul points out the kind of person you are, or are meant to be, and can be. Out of His infinite glory, may God the Father give you the power through His Spirit for your hidden self, that's the real you, for your hidden self to grow strong, so that Christ may live in your heart through faith, and then, planted in love and built on love, you will, with all the saints, have strength to grasp the breadth and length and height and depth, until knowing the love of Christ, which is beyond all knowledge, you are filled with the utter fullness of God. Glory to Him whose power working in you can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Does God really want you to have this almost unbelievable conscious union with Him? In the first lesson from the prophet Hosea, you heard God saying that He is going to attract you out into the wilderness, that is a place of solitude alone with Him, is going to attract you out into the wilderness and will speak to your heart. He says you will love God as your husband, and He will betroth you to Himself forever with tenderness and love, and you will come to know the Lord. This knowledge of the Lord which He will give you is not just mental knowledge, but means in the Hebrew sense a real knowledge by union with Him, speaking in the heart. The marriage with God takes place when we are one with the human Jesus Christ. God the Father has a marriage feast for His Son and for His Son's bride. This marriage feast lasts forever in heaven, but part of it overflows onto the earth, and we are taking part in it when we take part in the Holy Mass. We celebrate it, our marriage with the Lord, in a joyful sacrifice. Perhaps this talk of being full of God, of being married to God in Jesus Christ, of having a personal knowledge by union of the profound depths of the love of Christ, which St. Paul speaks of, perhaps all this seems too remote to apply to you yourself. It is not remote. You are invited to it. You are called to it. If you don't seek it, you're not wearing the wedding garment, at least not the best quality one, as you share in this wedding feast today. If you are faithful and generous, this profound living relationship with God will not be abstract and something you accept without feeling or without realization. It will grow till it means more than anything else on this earth. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, and we heard it in the Gospel today, that if you love him and keep his commandments, he will ask the Father, who will send the Holy Spirit to you. And our Lord goes on to say, I will come to you, you will see me because I live and you will live, and you will understand, by the light and warmth of the Holy Spirit, and you will understand that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Anybody who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I shall love him, and show myself to him. I shall show myself to him. Surely we ought to hope for, and seek, and expect a wonderful intimate union with God in Jesus Christ, as he unites us to himself with tenderness and love, above all in the Holy Eucharist, and in the life that flows from our Holy Communions, a life of intimate, personal relationship with Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and not just a relationship with God who is one. We have a most wonderful, different relationship, as it were, to each of the three glorious divine persons in God, rather as they have a different relationship each in God. And this draws us right into the heart of God, who is love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends of the Cross, number 1. The Conference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As for me, the only thing I can boast about is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. These words are from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. You have given up your Sunday today to come apart from the world and normal routine for a day of recollection. That is to say, for a day deliberately chosen alone with God. It should be a day of silence, of peace, of prayer, and of thought about God. Whilst you should be glad that others are here too, seeking God, the main purpose of this day is to get you personally nearer to God and nearer to your true self. Nearer to your true self, because that is where God is present, creating you from within, and where God the Father is loving you as a real son of his, or a real daughter of his, because at that level you are living in his Son, and his Son is living in you, loving you from within, the real you, where the Holy Spirit, who is the embrace of the Father and the Son, enfolds you and brings all this about. These are truths that we know by faith, but we need to deepen our awareness of them and our joy in them, and so deepen our real love as human beings for our blessed Lord and for the eternal Father who is in him. This is not intended just to be one day of recollection to which anyone who wishes may come and then disappear again. We have called it a visitation day of recollection, and it is open to those who are in some way related to the nuns of the visitation, either because they have stayed here and been attracted by their spirit, or because they have some appreciation at least of the spirit of prayer and penance which the visitation order, like all contemplative orders, is based on. Because this is a visitation day of recollection, I am going to take certain liberties in making suggestions about prayer and penance and a rule of life that I should not make if you were a completely haphazard group of good Catholics, but had no special attraction to a deeper life of prayer, or had no consciousness of a deeper longing for God. But I do want to make clear that I am only making suggestions, and in no way trying to modify your rule of life if you already have one, nor to interfere in any way with the advice you have had from your spiritual director, if you've got the good fortune to have one. Our purpose in life, for which we were created, for which we were redeemed by the cross, and for which the teaching of the Church and the sacraments are given to us, our purpose is to be united with God. It is something we all long for, whether the fact is obvious to us, or whether this longing is disguised under feelings of frustration, or insecurity, or anxiety, or anything else. We were made for God. He is our peace and our fulfillment, and He alone. The basis of union with any other person is obviously love. And since God already loves us, if we are not united with Him, it is because we do not love Him enough in return. Not one of us could claim to love God enough. Why is this? There could be many reasons. With those of you whom I know well, I do not think the fact of not loving God enough is due to failure to love your neighbour enough, though this may be part of the reason with some of us. I think the main reason why you do not love God enough is because your living awareness of God and of His loveliness and of His closeness and of His love for you personally is not as deep and as firm as it ought to be. To see God is to love Him, and to see God loving yourself is overwhelming. You just can't help yourself. But God is not seen with the eyes. God is found mysteriously in the centre of the very real, genuine, sincere you that is just out of sight under the more superficial levels of yourself, just beyond the self that bustles about doing things and experiences things and thinks about things and imagines things. God is found in a very quiet depth of yourself, your hidden self, as St. Paul called it in the Epistle at our Mass this morning, and He is found by faith, faith lit up by God's light, if it is deep. So in order to find God in a real deep awareness of Him, we have at least from time to time to try to peel off all those outer layers of the superficial self and forget everything as far as we can and drop everything and simply be quiet, thoughtfully alone with our deepest self in the presence of the God of peace, the God of peace who loves us at that very level. I'm not recommending a vigorous effort at looking into yourself, however. There must be no drilling into yourself. It is recollection we want, not introspection. By being your deepest self for a while, you can look at God, but I am not asking you to look at yourself looking at God. So when you are your deepest self, your most sincere and simple and childlike self, you will in fact forget yourself and only love God. In other words, what I'm really trying to say is that in order to be united with God, we need at least from time to time some very deep prayer. And of course prayer, like anything else worthwhile, requires real application, real perseverance, even if we seem to fail over and over again. And real experience is needed before prayer really becomes the joy of our life, a real intimate love affair with Jesus Christ in the presence of the Father and in the warmth of the Holy Spirit. So I want to say something about prayer and what is called mental prayer in particular in these conferences. And because you have come to a visitation day of recollection, I think you are called now or later to deep mental prayer and to live your ordinary life in a prayerful spirit. Deep prayer cannot be separated from a spirit of penance. They go hand in hand. The spirit of prayer and the spirit of penance must go together if we are in love with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The kind of prayer I have in mind is something like the prayer of the Sisters of the Visitation, a very sensible, balanced, and yet deep prayer. no visions or ecstasies or raptures or anything like that, but a very deep, genuine, quiet, loving prayer, very close to God, and very close indeed to the sacred, wounded heart of Jesus. It is not necessarily or always a consoling prayer, but it has great effects on a person who keeps it up. There are many things to be said, and some personal guidance needed if we are to pray well, and what I have said is only an introduction and not a method or a system for you to follow. But in this first conference, I do want to make certain clear suggestions as a preliminary, at least, for those of you who have not as yet acquired a habit of prayer and haven't got a general rule of life about it. What I want to suggest is that you should do something very positive about the invitation or call God has undoubtedly given you to deepen your prayer life. I know you have your daily work. Some of you have very limited free time. And I am not trying to turn you into monks or nuns. What I do want is for you to love God as much as you would if God had called you to be a nun instead of giving you the vocation you're following, or a monk instead of the vocation you are following. It can be done, but you have got to make a very positive resolution or rule of life to make sure that you do pray as well and as much as God expects of you in your own particular circumstances. The time may come when our taste for prayer has become so strong that nothing could wean us away from it. But until then, we need some rule or resolution to keep us at it as the weeks go by. I want to suggest, and it is only a suggestion, that after thinking about it this afternoon, you should decide quite emphatically that you do want to be a man or woman of prayer. And I want you to think about regarding yourself not only as a man or woman of prayer, but as a friend of the cross. Now, what I mean by a friend of the cross is not a person who is always positively looking for trouble and looking for mortification and hardships and so on. No, I don't suggest you should seek the cross unless you're told to do so, but that you should be willing to take up whatever cross our Lord gives you with a special spirit, that I do suggest. A friend of the cross is a person who knows something about the heart of Jesus and understands, or keeps trying to do so, something of the feelings of our Lord which made him choose the way of the cross for himself and for every one of his close friends. We want our Lord to be able to trust us to carry our share of his cross, at least without deliberately grumbling at all, and we want to realize the great value of every little sacrifice we make in union with him. We have, in fact, pledged each one of these sacrifices to him by sharing in the Holy Mass in any case. So I want you to be friends of the cross, to appreciate the cross when it comes, to be willing to share the life of our Lord on earth. Deep, genuine prayer is the prayer of a friend of the cross and of no one else. Obviously, I can't give instructions on how to pray in one talk. Moreover, the prayer I'm speaking of is a prayer of love, and therefore it is very individual. It often needs thrashing out with a spiritual director rather than in a talk to a group of different people. But as time goes on, I hope to say something about prayer as such, if you can come each month. But I do hope you will start right away by resolving to be a man or woman of prayer and to think about being a friend of the cross. It is in the wounded heart of Christ that you will find out how much he loves you and how much he longs to make you love God in him. To be a bride of Christ and love the Father with his Son's love, we have to share the attitudes and feelings of our Lord and his way of seeing things. No one knows our blessed Lord without living his life, because he is life. One of the things our Lord liked was to be alone at prayer. He would go off on his own to be alone with God from time to time. And this is what I should like you to do. Obviously, the frequency and the period of your withdrawals from the world will depend on your circumstances. But I do strongly recommend a rule of life in this matter, unless you already have other advice from a spiritual guide. Why not see yourself as a friend of the cross and resolve to pray at the foot of the cross for a certain minimum period of time? Purely as a suggestion, I wonder if you would like secretly, or with your spiritual director's approval, to promise our Lord to spend 3 hours in prayer with God alone at the foot of the cross in memory of our Lord's 3 hours on the cross. I'm not suggesting 3 hours of mental prayer straight off. Only a few souls would benefit by this, except very, very occasionally. No, decide to give 3 hours to this special prayer, spread over every 6 weeks, or every month, or every fortnight, according to your ability, and not starting off too optimistically. If you decide to give our Lord 3 hours every 3 weeks, you could fulfill your promise by 10 minutes each day, or by 2 half-hour periods each week, or something like that. And if you made it daily, which is a good idea if possible, then if you missed a day here or there, you could easily make up the time on another day. You could put your prayer at the foot of the cross under the patronage of those three saints who were such friends of the cross, such friends that they stayed with our Lord there, Our Lady, the innocent St. John, and the forgiven sinner St. Mary Magdalene, all great contemplatives and all very human. If you don't like this idea of the Friends of the Cross, do at least determine to give some definite time to prayer, preferably every day, times when you will drop everything in order to be able to pay attention to God alone. In addition to your daily prayer, or your periodical 3 hours, I want to suggest that you have certain special days for God. By God's own command, every Sunday is the Lord's Day, and is therefore, at least to some extent, a day of recollection. Each month you could have a major day of recollection by coming here, if you can manage it. And once a year you should make a few days retreat inside a monastery, if you can manage that. If you do something like this in your life, you will become a man or a woman of prayer. Now, I have taken the liberty that I said I would, as this is a visitation day of recollection, and have given pretty concrete suggestions about prayer and penance and a rule of life. And I have suggested that you might like to crystallize this resolution in the modern world, and you're in the modern world where many Catholics have lost sight of the value of prayer, the value of penance and of reparation and love for Jesus crucified, that you would make this resolution by accepting the title of Friends of the Cross, not out of heroism or because you're going to become alarmingly austere, but because in a quiet way you want to love and understand our Lord's heart and come very close to God in him. Most of us need help if we are to persevere in prayer and deep devotion, and perhaps we could support one another as Friends of the Cross. I could have suggested that we call ourselves Friends of the Visitation, but I prefer Friends of the Cross. However, the nuns of the Visitation are all real Friends of the Cross, and much more so perhaps than I am suggesting for you. Listen to what St. Francis de Sales said to them about friendship with the cross. A heart that esteems and truly loves Jesus crucified cherishes his sufferings and his death. And when some little portion of these falls to its lot, it rejoices and embraces them with love. The true lover of the cross and passion of our Lord desires no other joy than that found on Mount Calvary with Jesus Christ. Jesus on the cross sacrificed his heart and his love for love of us. Why then do we not sacrifice our heart and our love for love of him who loved us so much? If we could meet once a month like this, with the determination to deepen our prayer life, I am sure we should grow in the love and knowledge of God. And perhaps, if occasionally some of you could not get here, we could then send you an outline of what we thought about on our day of recollection, and so keep you in touch. I have spoken more about a plan for the mechanics of a life of prayer, more about determination and perseverance than about what you actually are to do while you are praying, and that is a subject we must think about as time goes on. Most of you already know something at least about spending some quiet time with God without reciting set prayers or simply reading books, and I cannot speak about ways of making our mental prayer just now. I would like, however, to say that mental prayer, which is the prayer of love, is the only religious activity that is incompatible with a state of sin. People can say prayers, receive sacraments, celebrate Mass, and do all kinds of good works, and yet stay in the state of mortal sin. No one can keep up mental prayer and stay in the state of mortal sin. Either the sin goes, or the prayer goes. It would be a wonderful thing if there were a number of people like you, leading lives centered on really deep prayer, not showing anything unusual in public, but conscious of a special call to be friends of the cross and to pray at its foot. You would be points of light scattered throughout the areas where you live, and like the Visitation Sisters, draw down the light of God into this dark world, and draw down the love of God into hearts grown cold and indifferent. May I remind you of what we thought about at Holy Mass this morning? Our Lord's wedding feast, in which his passion and death and resurrection are all present and we share in them. There is the invitation to come and grasp the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Jesus which is beyond all knowledge, until you are filled with the utter fullness of God. We have our Lord's promise to you yourself. If you love me, I will ask the Father, and he will send the Holy Spirit to you, and I will come to you. You will see me, because I live and you will live, and you will understand that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I shall love him, and show myself to him. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.